Hello, everyone. It is Monday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for Get to Know Night, that weekly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. As always, we have so many questions, so I'm just going to jump right into it. The first question is from Reese. They ask, what do you think of the playoff games this weekend? Oh, man, they were really good. They were really good games. I think my favorite game has been the Bengals. I think that's why I'm supporting them in the Super Bowl, is they just played their hearts out. They've just been, I don't know. Joe Burrow has just put the team on his back. I was really hoping for, if it wasn't the Bengals, it was the Bills for me, I think. I mean, the Buccaneers obviously got knocked out, and that broke my heart. Obviously, the Bucs to win was my number one hope. But if it wasn't the Bucs, then it was the Bills, and since it's not going to be the Bills, I think I want the Bengals. Do I want LA to win? No, not particularly. I don't want the Rams to win. I got beef with the Rams. I got beef with any team who moves to LA. Stop moving to LA. Stay where you are. Just stop coming to LA. Go elsewhere. And you know, a team relocates to LA, I kind of hate that team. I don't know. I don't want the Rams to win. I just want the Bengals to win. I think it'll be a beautiful story. I think Joe Burrow deserves it. I've been following him since he's been playing at like Alabama and LSU, and he's just, I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. I want him to win it. I'm here for Joe Burrow. So, I'm hoping they win. My prediction right now is, my prediction is probably that the Rams win. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, I think the Rams win. The Rams D is just so good. And Matthew Stafford, he's like not a bad, like he's a good QB. I think he can play. I mean, they have a lot of weapons on the offense. They have OBJ. Like, I don't know. I think the Rams have what they've been missing to go to the Super Bowl is a quarterback. I think they have the quarterback that got them to the Super Bowl. I don't know if it's a quarterback that's going to win them the Super Bowl, but it's the quarterback that got them there. Because Jared Goff is good, but he's not, I wouldn't say it's a top 10 quarterback pick. Like, if right now, if I could get any quarterback, I would not first pick Jared Goff. Probably would first pick Mahomes, though. Mahomes is, that man, he's a gunslinger. It's a shame he lost. But Joe Burrow really has been playing his heart out. Josh Allen's also very good, too. I mean, like, there's been a lot of great quarterback play, which I think is what's been making the NFL so enjoyable to watch recently. I know this is a lot of sports talk. I'm so sorry. I can't believe I just started an episode with, 2 minutes of sports talk. This is what happens. Don't get me starting talk sports. All right. Thank you, Reese. I really appreciate the question. I don't know how many people did, but for all five of you who really appreciated the answer, there it is. Also, I guess while I still have sports talk on my mind, Tom Brady is not retiring. I'm going to make this prediction right now. This is Monday, January 31st, 2022. Tom Brady is not retiring. He is going to play another year in the Buccaneers. If he doesn't go to the Super Bowl next year, he'll retire. But he has one more year. I need everyone to stop saying he's retiring. He's not retiring. He has one more year on his contract. He's going to play one more year. Yeah, so that's the end of sports ball. Sports ball corner. All right, the next question is from Anonymous. They yell, Knight, help me decide, Universal or the Disney parks? Oh, man. I mean, it's an interesting question. I love how SeaWorld isn't even in that, like, isn't even in the conversation, or Busch Gardens, you know. It shows you have a monopoly on the market when people are just like, oh, no, it's Pepsi Coke. There are no other options. There's no RC Cola. I think, here's my answer. Here's my honest answer. If you have kids, or if you grew up going to Disney, go to Disney. I think Disney holds nostalgia for kids who went to Disney as kids, or people who just love the Disney franchise of stuff. But if you have young children, I think Disney's always a must go to. I think it's really good. It's just a magical experience for kids. So I would say if you have kids, go Disney. For Universal, I think Universal is just better for like teens and up. Like if you're into like thrills, roller coasters, that kind of stuff, Universal all day. But that's just my like simple overview. I'd have to know more. I have to know about like the situation, like how long you want to stay for, like what are you looking to do, like all these kind of things. I feel like if I had a better sense of who was asking the question, I could give you a better answer, because I think it's really situational. Because it's almost like asking for an ice cream flavor choice. I don't know if you like vanilla or chocolate. Like, you gotta give me a little bit so I can make an educated guess here. Because yeah, they really do appeal to just different types of people. So, if you're a thrill seeker, Universal. If you love Harry Potter, Universal. If you grew up on Disney cartoons as a kid, Disney. If you went to Disney as a child, Disney. Like, it's just, I think that's the answer. So, I hope that helps. I know it's a hard choice, but I hope it helps. All right. Hello, random quick question. Which one do you prefer being called, K or Knight? Thanks. Have a great day. I think I prefer K. I think internally, I would think Knight represents more of the character in the audios, and K is more of a, it's me. Hi. I'm K. I feel like Knight is a better representation of like that character. So yeah, I mean I respond to both. So I'm not upset when people are like, "Hey Knight." I'm like, "Yeah, it's me." But yeah, if I was like, "What do you really prefer?" I think I prefer K between the two. But yeah, that's just me. So I'm not going to be upset if people keep calling me Knight. And you don't need to feel like you need to correct people who are like, call him K, he refers it. It's fine. I'm not. I almost regret saying I have a preference at this very moment, but I'm going to keep it in because I'm not allowed to cut these or edit these up in any kind of meaningful way once I answer a question. So, yeah. Okay. So please don't correct people in the wild when they call me Knight. It's fine. I don't mind. But if I had a personal preference, it's K. All right. Excellent. Not a question I will regret at one point answering. All right. Matcha Jade asks, "Hi, do you have an ideal date? Like walking on the beach, movie, etc. Do you think it depends on the person? Sorry for having a boring question." No, it's not a boring question. That's a great question. All right. Ideal date. So I feel like that's kind of a tricky one. Because I think there's ideal dates for different points in a relationship, you know? Like, if I just start dating you and my first date is a hot air balloon ride, I think that's kind of like, it's a little excessive. And I don't know if that's particularly a great first date. So I guess my first thing would be like, what stage of the relationship is it? I'm gonna just picture myself in a relationship I've been in for a long time. Because that's when I think you have the most variety of date selection. You can go on a vacation with someone you've just met, and like that's a date. You can be like, "Oh, let's go on a trip somewhere." But typically you don't. So I'm just gonna picture us deep in a relationship. Ideal date then. I love travel. I love going places. I love road trips, driving places, flying places. Like, oh, I just yeah, I love spending air. Like, I love travel time with a significant other. I think that's so good. Because it just breaks you out of your rhythm and your routine, and now you're like you now are like we're getting to like focus on the other a lot more, you know? And I think traveling is the best time for that, because you have nothing else to do. You're literally just stuck here with no phone signal, cooped up in like this really tight environment where you just get to like I don't know. It almost feels like when you start dating for the first time again, because you're like, "Oh yeah, let's just talk about stuff," and then we were like, "Oh my God, I never knew that about you, and that's crazy. How have I never known that?" And I don't know. I love travel for that reason. I think travel is really great. I think it really bonds people together. Yeah. So I would say a trip. I'm always gonna be like, "Let's fly somewhere." You know, let's go, point on a map. Let's fly somewhere. I love doing that. So that would be my ideal day. My ideal date is just flying, driving, training, boating, just some kind of transportation, because I think that's just the act of going somewhere is just really like it bonds people, and I think it's a cool date. I think it's like I don't know, I mean like super great would be, I don't know. I love transatlantic red eye flights. I don't know why. I always have, but doing it with significant other is so much fun. I think it's so nice to. You know, you show up at JFK or LaGuardia or Dulles or whatever time, usually like hella like late. You basically spend the whole day together. You'd be like hanging out wherever, and then you show up at an airport, you like check your bags, you get to the gate, you hang out, like you guys walk around, you know, you shop at like whatever those news things are, or since it's international, duty free, you go look at the duty free section. You can like buy her some perfume, or like you're like, oh my god, it would be so great, it would be to get like, let's get a bottle of champagne for the flight or just something or whatever. And then you hop on the plane. Hopefully you're boarding early, hopefully you're first class, and if you are, that's wonderful. You gotta like go on early, you gotta sit down, get comfy. It's Virgin, because that's like the only way to travel across the transatlantic. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Virgin's probably the best. I'm not sponsored, but definitely fly Virgin if you can. And then you know, you fly, you know, you get ready, you get the little, I think they still do that, those wonderful like tote bags they give, which just has like, you know, a blanket and like this mask and all this other stuff, and like you guys can like look through your bag together, and then you go through the in-flight entertainment and be like, what movies should we watch together, we have so much time, and be like, oh, should we take a nap first, should we do this because it'll be late, and I'm like, oh, what time is it in London, and like I don't know, there's just something really sweet and magical about it, as you can clearly tell, as I haven't shut up about it for how long. I like traveling with someone, it's nice. So that's my ideal date. I think I gave it in a lot of detail, but yeah, I just like it. Just nice. Sierra asks, hey, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Are you more of a minimalist person, or are you into design and decoration? I like how that question is phrased. I appreciate the way that question's phrased. So I think I'm into design. I like decorating stuff. I think the question is, do I have good taste? I don't know if I have good taste. I like the taste I have. And it makes me happy. I like functionality. I like when things just work. And I think I just like a little spice. I like I feel like I'm gonna start describing my taste, and everyone's gonna be like, ah, yes, a very typical man's taste. Yeah. Cause it's like fucking dark woods, man. That was my immediate, like, first thing. It's like, oh, man, I do like some dark woods. But, yeah, I mean, minimalism isn't bad. I dig some minimalist stuff. I see the appeal. I've seen a lot of people who've been trying to, like, declutter their houses. And I actually do really when they do bare shelves and just, like, some really nice stuff. Is it bare shelves or naked cupboards? I don't remember the term for it. It's when they, like, strip off their cupboards and stuff so everything's, like, exposed. I remember I had a friend who was trying to pare down his life. He's like, I have too many things. I need to only have, like, he was like, I have to reduce till I have 1,000 things. He's like, I have to go down to 500, then 250. And he was like trying to pare back his lifestyle. And I remember his house was super cool. Like, it was so, like, it was super functional, and it was so, like, Spartan. And I really liked it. I really got into it for a little bit. But yeah, I can't live like that. So I guess my taste is eclectic. I have a lot of pieces from a bunch of different stuff. I like collecting pieces. I think that's the way to go. I think it's more fun. I think it's the funnest way to build your house is to collect pieces. Just find pieces that you're like, oh my god, that's so cool, from a yard sale or like thrift shop, and find something, or you know, you never know. You just find some random things that you're like, oh my god, that looks so cool, and then you just make it work. I don't know if that answers your question, but I hope it does. I really appreciate the question, though. All right, let's see. The next question is from Anonymous. They ask, you write all the scripts for your audios, right? And I do. Yeah, I mean, they're not really scripts per se. We'll circle back to that. But anyway, let me see what your question is. You have so many audios. Does it ever get difficult making each one unique? In my opinion, each audio feels like it has its own little moment. And it's really cool I've been able to do that. I really appreciate that. Thank you. So do I write all my stuff? I don't necessarily write a whole lot down. I'm starting to transition into doing a little bit more writing in the process. And I might do a lot more writing in the future. We'll see. But I've been doing the majority of my work through mostly improvisational work. You know, I usually have a premise or an idea or a feeling or just something. There's like a core of something. And then I basically turn on the microphone and I record, and I just record until I get what I want. At the beginning, it was a really reductive process. It was a lot of recording and a lot of editing stuff up. It's become less so that way. now. But in the past, it was almost like, it was almost like you were, I was just trying to basically find the gem in what was a bunch of noise. And now I think the noise has been reduced quite a bit, and now I'm able to find what I'm looking for easier. But it's hard to explain a process that's solely internal, you know? I think that's what my biggest issue about explaining, like, people are like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I don't know. How do I explain a process that's completely internal? Like, it's all in my head. which makes it hard to explain, you know? But it's basically improv. It's basically just, you just have a premise and you just go with it. And you just see where it goes. I guess you also have to be kind of emotionally grounded too. Like, you have to know where you are emotionally and where they are emotionally. And I think if you have those two anchor points in, like, the scene, right? And then you build from there. I think you can create things that feel authentic. And that's always my goal, I think, with anything I make. I think it's about trying to pare down to something that I feel, that feels real to me. That feels true. And that feels, like, as true to life as I think I can get it to be. I think that's my intention with everything I try to make here. I think I'm trying really hard to reproduce. It's like that line from Westworld that I really love it. I love it. It's a Jonathan Nolan line, or maybe it was a Lisa Joy line. I'm not sure. They were the writers on this episode. It's the first, I think it's the pilot. Anthony Hopkins is talking to Bernard. I don't remember the actor's name. He's a good actor, though, but I've done him the disservice of calling him his character's name. But he's talking to him, and he says how, you know, storytellers, or we say the right words, and then we imbue life. And I think that's what's always attracted me to storytelling. Like screenwriting, or writing just for books, or like whatever it is, just storytelling. Is this very true idea that if you do the right alchemy, all of a sudden the things that you make are alive, and in, like, tangible, real ways, which I thought was like a really beautiful sentiment. I had that feeling, I think, when I was in school, but I didn't have any words to put it together. I think that's why I love that scene, which I think, again, further illustrates the power of storytelling, because it does really distill that essence of that feeling down to, like, just a sentence. So that's what I'm trying to do here, I guess. It's like alchemy. I'm just trying to utter the right words and bring something to life. I mean, maybe that's, like, a really grandiose way of looking at it, and maybe it is, but I don't know. I think that's how I look at it. Anyway, I appreciate your question. Today's been a really rambly day, as you can tell. It's been a very rambly day. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Hey, Kay. I know you really enjoy movies, but I never got into them, and I don't keep up with them. I don't keep up with what's playing at theaters. Do you have any movie recommendations? It can be any genre, any year, and doesn't necessarily need to be an absolute favorite. Just ones you think anyone would enjoy, or ones you really liked. Thanks. I think I can give you some recommendations, but I'm slightly intimidated by the, because you're like, I never got into them. So it makes me go, ooh, what movies then? Because I feel like if I start you off with, like, I would recommend, you know, maybe trying out some core franchises and seeing, like, if any of them speak to you would be my first move. Mostly because this is in a vacuum. Like, I wish I had a better understanding of, like, which movies have you seen that you didn't like? Like, I wish I had, like, a sense of, like, oh, this movie wasn't great and this is why. So I could be like, okay, well then I think this is better for you. There used to be once upon a time a place called Blockbuster. I don't know how many people remember it. But in this wonderful place, you could rent movies, and in the people who worked there were, like, really knowledgeable about movies. I don't know if Quentin Tarantino worked at Blockbuster, but he worked at a video rental store. And there's some, like, there's, like, kind of a, there's been a bunch of movies about it too, which I think is really funny, about, like, the pseudo expertise of these movie rental people. But a long time ago, they had a really good sense of, like, you should watch this movie because you told me these things and I can give you a sense that this is a movie for you. And I kind of feel a little like in that role right now, as even though I never was in that era where I could have been working there. I was only in the renting. I wasn't old enough to be working there yet. But this is like my chance to work at Blockbuster, even though it's closed. So I'm gonna take it. My first recommendation is probably watch franchises. Look at let me rephrase that. You should probably look at these three franchises. Look at Harry Potter. Look at Lord of the Rings. And when I say Lord of the Rings, I'm not talking about The Hobbit. Please do not watch The Hobbit. Just don't do that. Unless it's the animated one from the 70s. That's a good Hobbit. Not the new one. New Peter Jackson Hobbit's a no-go. Don't watch that. I'm trying to think, what is something that is... I'm going to give you something popular. So those are the popular choices. I think the first Avengers is a movie that holds up pretty well to general audiences. And then if we want to roll the clock back, we can look at older films, we can look at anything Steven Spielberg has really touched, so whether that's E.T. or Indiana Jones would be a good, would, if you're into adventure action-y kind of things, Indiana Jones is great. Back to the Future is just fun. It's just a fun movie. I think I think the first one is all you need to see. If you're just someone who isn't really into movies and you just were trying to give it a chance, just watch the first one. And if you like it a lot, then watch this third one. And then if you really like the third one, then you can come back and watch the second one. Because the second one's kind of iffy. I'll be the first one to say you don't need to see the second Back to the Future. I don't know. There's just so much, Jurassic Park would be something, not the franchise, just the first movie. What else is there that I can be like, these are things that, Jaws, that goes back to Spielberg. You can also look at the other side, Home Alone, classic Addams Family, you have things like that. But I think, I wish I knew how old you were, questionnaire person asking the question. I wish I knew, because if I knew how old you were, I could be and I don't like movies, old movies because of this. Or I like old movies because of that. Oh man, I wish I had more information. I'm so upset. This was a fun question. I just wish I had more information. Yeah, that's all I got for you. I wish I had more. I really do wish I had more. I mean, we could go further back. You can go watch Casablanca. Casablanca is a classic. It's so good. So good. But you have to be there's a certain type of person who likes Casablanca, you know? I'm not going to refer Requiem for a Dream, for example. That might be just, that's it's a good movie, but I don't know if you want to watch it. All these movies I've recommended so far are good films, and I recommend all of them, but to the certain type of person. I'm not going to recommend Trainspotting probably to you. It's a good movie, but it's is that a movie you need to see? I guess I'll close up the list with what I consider artsy pictures that I think anyone will like. Her, I think, is an artsy film that everyone came behind. I really like Lost in Translation. I really have it has a soft spot in my heart. I really like it. It's a slow art film though, so just keep that in mind. It's Such a Beautiful Day is probably my favorite animated film of all time. Which is a crazy, crazy hyper, it feels like hyperbole. There's so many other good hype. Oh yeah, shit, what am I talking about? Pixar. I completely miss Pixar movies. Any Pixar movie is worth watching. If you don't like movies, watch a Pixar movie. Oh my god, Pixar is, if like Pixar's movies are some of the best movies in terms of they're just such good. It's good storytelling, I think, is the crux of it. It's just really good storyteller. All the people who do it are veteran storytellers. They're really good at their craft. They make tight movies that are really succinct and beautiful. I think, actually, I take all my recommendations back. If you've listened up to this point, I'm so sorry. I've led you astray. Watch Pixar movies. Watch Up, Ratatouille. Even Cars is a really good movie. Don't watch Cars 2, though. Cars 2, Cars 3 is no. But the original Cars, that's a tight movie. That's actually, that's a really solid arc. I don't really have any gripes with it. But yeah, any Pixar movie. Just watch a Pixar movie. Disney's Coco is also pretty good. That made me cry. And I feel like, yeah, I guess, let me preface this. If you're going to watch Pixar movies, just know you're probably going to cry. I still cry in Pixar movies. I cry in the beginning of Finding Nemo. That whole scene with the dad. Oh, every single time. Just why? Why Pixar? So yeah, watch Pixar movies. They're great, but you will cry a little bit. But I mean, that's probably the point, though. Like, of movies is that, like, I think for a movie to really resonate with you, like, you should have an emotional reaction. Like, a good movie makes you feel something. And if you don't feel anything, then I think the movie wasn't very good. So, I guess I will leave you with that. I don't know how helpful that any of this advice was. You've got me on a long film tangent. Which I guess that's, if you ever want me to just talk for an hour, get me to talk about film. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this very long episode of Get to Know Night. If you have questions, please feel free to leave it down in the doobly-doo down below. There should be a link to the forum where you can ask any question you want. Anyway, I hope you have a great rest of your week. Tomorrow's the first of the month. I hope everyone's ready for that. And I'll see you all later. Bye now.